For this one, take a look at the top of the robot's head, and you see this symbol here, which is actually an Aleister Crowley hexagram, which is a symbol equivalent to the pentagram or pentacle. The two symbols together represent the interweaving of planetary and elemental forces. So this is their symbology for merging man and machine, or transhumanism.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. My friends Hope and Tavon are back with another blockbuster presentation, this one about the Medical Body Area Network nightmare. The kill box is here, my friends, and we lay it all out for you right here, right now, the evil web to ensnare humanity. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Friends, we've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here with a very, very important update from returning guests and friends of truth, my good friends Hope and Tavon from Morocco. Guys, welcome back. How are you?
So great to be here.
Doing great, Sean.
Thanks for having us, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, so glad you're back. And I want to show everybody your website just to remind people who you are and what you do. FTWproject.com is the website, guys. And if you guys recall my recent interview with Mark Atwood, personal friends of Hope and Tavon, Mark talked about orgone and shungite and the properties that these materials have to combat EMF. And actually, the science is very, very clear. If you guys want to learn more about it, we'll leave the link below. You can get these products to put on your cell phone or by your bed to help mitigate the EMF exposure that we're all being totally fried with. And before I play this clip from Sabrina Wallace, Tavon, do you want to just comment on that? We're all being bombarded by 5G, EMF, 4G all day long, every single day. And if, God forbid, you live by one of these cell phone towers or work by one, you're being inundated by enough radiation to cause you liver cancer, heart attacks, all sorts of problems, brain cancer, and the mainstream horror media in this country still woefully silent on the matter. Tavon?
Well, you pretty much nutshelled it there, Sean. We're all have to change our lifestyle because of what we are in, which is this sea of toxic EMFs. So we're all going to have to be challenged with changing our diet, things that we thought were fine. We've all become insensitized to this stuff also. So, if you can do the best you can, including some of us, like for us, it might include relocating. It's just, you're going to have to really consider everything holistically in your life that you can possibly change, wherever God decides to give you the wisdom to do. But it's a challenge for everyone. It is bad for everyone, ultimately.
Well, maybe you can comment on strategic relocation too, because I've taken a little bit of heat in the comments below. You guys know where my heart is. I want to save my republic. I want to save my nation. But I've been saying if they steal another election like they did the last one, we're in a lot of trouble, the type of trouble that I don't know can be stopped. And so I'm not saying that there's anywhere in the world better than the United States. However, there are places in the world that have non-GMO food, no chemtrails, and precious little EMF, like Mexico, like El Salvador, like parts of Costa Rica. Do you guys want to just comment on that? You just said relocate. So what do you mean by that, Tavon? What should
not necessarily if you have to change border, although some of us are being called to do that. At the same time, there are, if you're a Christian, there are passages in the Bible to look out for that doesn't require a consensus. If you or your family, if you feel that you're in an immediate threat based on what's happening in the infrastructure around you, then it's incumbent upon you to look out for you and yours, you know? And for some of us, it's worse than others. I still believe in the States, depending on who you are and how you're, you know, where you were born and time you're born in, there are pockets where there is a remnant. So I'm not saying you have to leave the United States. But if you know that you're living in a place where you're surrounded by four or five cell towers and they've just been put up, and your tri-field meter shows that it's off the charts, where you're living in day by day and you realize what these things are capable of, you might want to strongly consider if there's any other alternatives to relocating out of that immediate danger. Just being in the countryside and being able to adapt to that, just those kind of changes are things that people should strongly consider now. Don't wait for consensus. I mean, we're all adults here, and we have to be able to exercise our minds and our hands. And let us not forget, out of the Bible, there were times as believers in God where we were called to, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see these times are coming, you know, you head for the hills, okay? And you know, it's not just a proper community that's looking at this seriously. More and more people are realizing that what's happening, the transformation of what we're used to living in, you know, the 90s, the 80s, is long gone. The government, the laws, everything's been changed around us. The floor has been shifted around us. Mm-hmm. And being a vet, I actually do care. I do care about people's livelihoods. I got family still over there. I want everyone to be able to do what they need to do to survive this, because, you know, they're throwing populations against each other. They're doing all kinds of stuff. But the EMFs is something that has to be tackled. A clean diet. These hopefully some of these products will give you some relief. The sleeping is going to be a problem with the increase of radiation. People are going to find it very difficult to sleep. So that's why we come on here to try to give, let you know what's going on, but then try to give some good news. And hopefully some of this will help some people.
Well, I think that the knowledge of the tech, so all this technology that we've been talking about, which is our thing, that's what we do, is explain technology to people. That's basically our main mission. And all of the technology that we're explaining is controlled by EMF. So that is why you have to mitigate the EMF. There's all kinds of things that these new advances in technology can do. And you really want to make sure that you have the knowledge. Now, you could just say, I don't want to know. I'm just going to close my eyes to it. And I don't want to hear about it. But that leaves you very, very vulnerable. So as painful as it is to learn about this information and about what this technology can do, it's really important that you know, because that knowledge is your number one defense against what they're doing. If you know where the enemy is and what the enemy is doing, then you know how to create a strategy around that.
Okay, I think that's very well said. And I just want to do one screen share before we get started here and we'll hit the ground running. Despite Microsoft's patent 060606 cryptocurrency system using body activity data, there are people that have judged us, I think unfairly, after our last conversation, saying that there's no such thing as transhumanism, and perhaps even believing that there's no such thing as body area networks. And I'm here to tell you guys that I think that's all incorrect. And I'll be taking that on head on with my friend Sophia Smallstorm in the coming weeks as we discuss that, because Sophia's latest newsletter dismantles that person's theory, the doctor that has been a guest on this show that basically attacked SGT report in the work of Hope and Tavon. So here's Sabrina Wallace on the fact of the matter regarding body area networks, nanotech, and essentially the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. Listen.
Body area networks. You already Googled body area networks. Don't be afraid. Medical body area network. And my challenge to you is to click on the images tab and tell me if you can find a picture in which your body ain't in it. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, yeah.
And when they go, oh, I've never heard of it. Oh, I just don't know. Since 2018, our Federal Communications Commission mandated the doctors and nurses, both of them, they have to know by law for something you might've heard of. HIPAA, health records. Hang on. Let me pull up my,
well, they blew that one. Heavy
cyber security out again. HIPAA, health records. Cisco, special health records.
You know, these things that are supposed to protect you.
Book number two, Senior Citizens, Federal Communications Commission, Medical Body Area Network.
All right. I just wanted to play that clip to dispel any rumors that my good friends Hope and Tavon are completely off track and they're just fear mongering. And so is SGT Report. The truth could not be further from that. We're trying to arm people with the facts and give people informed consent. You guys have the floor. Where would you like to start?
Well, I want to just comment on Sabrina Wallace. She is my friend. I am proud to call her my friend. She has taught me so much. I follow a lot of her videos and the teachings that she puts out there trying to educate people about these networks. And I'm really glad that she's in the world with us. She's also a sister in Christ. And I just have not enough good that I can say about Sabrina. So I didn't know you were going to play that clip until we got on the show. And I'm really, really glad that you did, Sean, because, you know, she's happy too that we're able to put this information out to your audience, because we're doing our best to take a lot of the stuff she talks about and teach it in a different language, maybe simplify it a little bit more. So we're just pushing that knowledge forward. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And you guys... You bet. You guys can drive. And I just wanted to make the point that I have seen a bit of infighting in various spaces within the truth community just over the last few months. And I don't think it's necessary. I mean, all of us have our hearts in the right place. All of us can point at the central banks and the international criminal banks and the House of Rothschild and the Bank for International Settlements, etc. We can identify the enemy, right? Big pharma producing vaccines that aren't vaccines, that are altering people's DNA, RNA. It's pure poison. And I think that's all you need to know. What's the litmus test for a truth teller? Well, just check the bounty of their fruit. That's all I wanted to say. You guys can go ahead.
Yeah. Amen.
And the main thing, it's about the information. You know, let's take all the personalities and put them to the side. It's about getting the truth out there. That's our main goal and always will be. So I'll go ahead and share my screen here. And we'll start with our presentation. Can you see everything okay?
Perfect.
Okay, great. So we're calling this the Medical Body Area Network Nightmare: Wireless Patient Monitoring, Digital Twins, and AI. So here is a quick summary. We'll talk about the Medical Body Area Network, biosensors and wake up radio, metamaterials for electromagnetic control, wireless drugging and the digital nervous system, telehealth technology, and remote health monitoring.
We'll also talk about how to use biosensor networks to track your everyday move in your house, using the Internet of Things to monitor your every move after COVID, emerging technology, AI precision healthcare, the NVIDIA Smart City M-Band hospital setup, the NVIDIA and AMD to run the tech.
Digital twins in healthcare. You are, I call it the You Are Now the Guinea Pig Modernization Act. The bioluminescent interface, why people's faces are glowing. And finally, migrants from emerging tech industry coming to an American city near you. Now, as always, just about 99% of the information that we put forth here is coming directly from industry white papers. We have a blog post behind this, and it's difficult to cite every single thing and every single sentence on a slide. So just go to the blog post and you can look up all these papers and read them for yourselves. And just like we were saying earlier, emerging technologies use EMF for control. So you can protect yourself from emerging technologies by protecting yourself from EMF. So this is about our products. We make our products by hand, mixing shungite, iron oxide, steel, brass, and quartz crystal powder form into an epoxy resin. When the epoxy cures into a solid plastic state, it puts pressure on the surface area of the ingredients. This causes something known as the piezoelectric effect, which emits a harmonizing field generated by the specific properties of the ingredients. It's this field that transforms the harmful energy of EMFs into healthy, life-preserving energy, and you can place our products all around yourself, your environment, for the best effect. You can see the benefits of our products right here, and please go ahead and use the link at the bottom of this presentation so that Sean can get a little bit of commission so we can keep, you know, supporting him and the work that he does as well. So with that said, we're going to just define again what the emerging technologies industry actually is.
So we're going to go into the emerging technologies is transhumanism, and even by Wikipedia's own definition of emerging technologies, if you are to go into that page, you would see some examples of how they classify examples of transhumanism on that page.
It's all your stuff. It's nanotechnology. Actually, let's just go to this slide. It's artificial intelligence, gene therapy, nanotechnology, blockchain technology, augmented reality, cancer vaccines, and DARPA. Those are some of the subjects that are underneath what's known as emerging technologies on the left-hand side here. And then you can see on the right-hand side, it is, in fact, transhumanism. They're very proud about it. So when we say emerging or advanced technologies, this is the industry that we are referring to. And with that said, they are merging man with machine through our DNA.
So what's interesting about our DNA is made up of four nucleic acids, adenine, guanine, thymine, and cytosine. Now, in this patent for the mRNA injections, it discusses changing our DNA by adding two extra cytosines, bringing our DNA from the ATCG to ATCCCG. So then the question becomes, what are the extra cytosines for? And if you want to find out some interesting history about cytosine in Wikipedia, in 1998, cytosine was used in an early demonstration of quantum information processing when Oxford University researchers implemented the Deutsch-Josa algorithm on a 2-qubit nuclear magnetic resonance quantum computer. So cytosine can be used in quantum computing
and artificial intelligence. So let's talk about the medical body area network. We're going to define it fully. The medical body area network, or M-bands, are networks of wireless sensors, often no bigger than a Band-Aid, which can transmit data on a patient's vital health indicators to their doctor or hospital. The FCC mandated the M-band in 2014. M-band is a subset of the wireless body area network. The first use of M-bands will likely be in hospitals, but longer-term application could be remote monitoring devices that allow doctors to check on patients at home. And we're going to show you how they do that, right? The networks can potentially alert doctors to problems before the patient's condition becomes critical, thus avoiding the need for acute intervention. The technology has more laws allowing it to do what it wants to your body than you do. All the regulatory agencies have been very busy creating legal structures for W-band, M-band, wireless drugging, and patient compliance for many years now. And this is the reason why humans are now have MAC addresses. It's for this network. We are all patients to the satanic medical system now. It also clearly states that this network follows you to your home, which is your kill box. Wireless body area network software, Omnet, this, what you see on the picture on the bottom right here, this is the software that they you install into your iPad or your laptop. And this is what allows them to log in and out of your body from your iPad. Hospitals use the medical body area network and software called Omnet to report data from human bodies up to the cloud. This was done in hospitals during COVID. So this has been like fully deployed right now. And many, many, many hospitals are using iPads with this software on it. The M-band technology will provide a flexible platform for the wireless networking of multiple body transmitters used for the purpose of measuring and recording physiological parameters and other patient information, or for performing diagnostics of therapeutic functions, primarily in healthcare facilities. This platform will enhance patient safety, care, and comfort by reducing the need to physically connect sensors to essential monitoring equipment by cables and wires. Oh, those pesky wires. Our decision herein is the latest in a series of actions to expand the spectrum available for wireless medical use, and that is coming directly from the FCC. Okay, so this is M-bands and how they work.
Okay, and this is from the Frontiers in Sustainable Cities 2022. So what you see off to the right, this is a model of a biosensor network using W-bands or NWSNs to identify early symptoms and monitor air quality.
WSNs is a wireless sensor networks.
The patient's wearable device, built using the Internet of Things module, is equipped with various biosensors. The biosensor nodes are equipped with minimum storage and processing power, and they use the IEEE 802.15.6 protocol that we mentioned in previous shows to transfer information with the base station. And the base station has a powerful Raspberry Pi computer with the graphical processing unit capabilities and the IoT connectivity. So the whole wireless body area network database, including all patient information, is stored on an NVIDIA 128 core Jetson Nano server computer. Using a smartphone app and an IoT connectivity, physicians, medical analysts, and other authorized users can access patients' medical histories stored on the server. The first use of M-bands will likely be in hospitals, but a longer-term application could be remote monitoring devices that allow doctors to check on patients at home. And one of the questions one would ask themselves, especially if they have an NVIDIA graphics card in their machine, would be, why would you need a 128-core server built if you're just monitoring patients' data? What kind of data set are you monitoring that requires graphical processing power?
Yeah, and you can see from this little graph here, they have wireless all over the place, wireless in all the different rooms. Now, you know, personally, Sean, I haven't been in a hospital in like 10 years. It's been a long time. So I don't know firsthand what is going on in these hospitals right now, especially in America, because I've been over here in Morocco. But, you know, we have been getting reports from nurses who are working in these hospitals, and they tell us about the iPads and the laptops and all the different wireless and the scanners. They use a lot of scanners for drugging. So we've got, like, you know, photos of the different scanners that they're using, just people reporting to us that are working in the hospital. So the next time anybody that you know is in a hospital, you know, open your eyes and look for this network. See what kind of equipment they've got there.
Well, let me just say one thing, and then I'll let you guys continue. Just to do a temperature check on the environment that is these hospitals today, killing fields. Everybody remembers what happened during the COVID lockdowns, and everybody remembers what they did to those patients, patients like Grace Shara, who was killed by her doctor and the nurses. And it's because they followed the protocols for people on COVID, and they got paid to do so, and they murdered people. Well, I'm here to tell you that things have only gotten worse in these hospitals. We have a hospital social worker whistleblower who is now telling me that these hospitals are intubating combative patients. So if you have a patient brought to the hospital, brought to the mental ward, who's in a psychosis, or if you have a patient who's combative because of drug use, they are intubating these patients against the patient's will just to shut them up because the hospitals don't want to deal with the combative patients. Now, I'm not saying my heart doesn't go out to the staff that has to deal with these people, but to put people on a ventilator and to shove a hose down their throat to shut them up, I don't know. That's Joseph Mengele level stuff to me. That's Nazi level Germany stuff to me, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, too, about the staff, a lot of the staff was informed that this, in fact, is what they would now be doing. They would be logging in and out of people's bodies using this network so that they can basically do all kinds of things to people using remote controls on their cell phones. A lot of them were informed that this is the new medical healthcare. And a lot of them said, I'm not going to do that. And they quit. So there's some that left, but then there's a lot that stayed. And they're just acting like this whole thing that we're showing you doesn't even exist. It's not even real. So, you know, it's just layers of evil going on there. I personally would not even go anywhere near a hospital if you can, you know, avoid it at all, because we know stories even here. Somebody in our family that was just walking, they went to the hospital to visit a relative, and they forced them to take a PCR test. And the PCR test came back positive, and then they forced them to go sit and lay down in a bed, and then they intubated them. They were not sick at all. They murdered them in the hospital. And there's like voice memos, you know, to the family members saying, get me out of here. They're trying to kill me. And then they killed them. So it's like, don't go anywhere near these buildings, right? Because I wouldn't even walk on the same block as a hospital at this point.
Yeah, I really think that the transformations of the hospitals in large, in mass, especially the corporatized ones, which pretty much they all are, like Scott Shara's is part of a corporate conglomerate, like the one where Scott Shara's daughter was murdered in Appleton, Wisconsin. That's part of a corporate conglomerate of hospitals. The transformation into the killing fields has been complete, right? The experiment is done. And those that still work there are the ones that went along with the experiment to, you know, give the person the electric shock, because everybody was doing it. And nobody's going to stop doing it. They're just going to increase the electrocution. I mean, I'm generalizing, but that does seem to be where we are now in the United States with these killing fields called hospitals.
Absolutely. So biosensors use wake-up radio technology.
So you have this mode in electronics called wake-up radio. And so imagine a receiver in a very low power mode that would, in a magical way, wake up just in time for the data to be received. This is what they have designed in the biosensors that are inside of bodies to do. So you have, there's a link from the Ericsson website called wake-up radio, a key component of IoT. And the diagram below is an IEEE standard that shows how it basically functions. You have this additional circuit that is always listening for a signal to prompt it to turn on. And then when it receives that signal, it turns on. In the right, what you're looking at is another diagram incorporating smart-based technology into clothes, into textiles, because, you know.
On one side, it's textiles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
On the other side, it's biosensors.
Right. So on the left, it talks about all kinds of, you're looking at different kinds of patches, how it can be localized and woven into the textile and into the clothing. In the form of material, these things can receive things like ultrasound. Basically, the textile itself would have areas where it would act like an antenna of different frequencies. On the right, you have, it talks more about the technology. Like, for example, it is referring to a little patch on that he's wearing. It's the network controller that deals with the localization of the nanonodes. And what's implied in this diagram here, Sean, is that when you look and when it zooms in into the body, you see these little dots that are emitting signals, and these are the they make a nano network or nanonodes that are passively flowing in the bloodstream. Now, we've went through several papers for this presentation, and this keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are free-floating in the bloodstream that are able to send and receive signals. So they act as their little nano network onto themselves. They're energy harvesting entities that to be localized. They have application support for targeted drug delivery. And then you'd have these wearables, in this example, on the clothes that are able to pick up the information that's being transmitted from these nodes that are in the body or on the surface of the body.
And it speaks to that concept that we've been talking about for years now about how the technology is lying dormant until it's activated, right? So this is basically explaining that wake up radio is just that. It wakes up when it gets activated, usually by an outside EMF signal. So we also have metamaterials for electromagnetic control. Software-defined metamaterials are the suite of nanoscale technologies that operate in the terahertz frequency range. Metamaterials enable electromagnetic control over electromagnetic waves in fields such as imaging, radar, or wireless communications. Metamaterials and their two-dimensional analogs, metasurfaces, have powerful control over electromagnetic waves from microwave to visible range and can become programmable. Programmable metamaterials may not only host multiple electromagnetic functionalities that can be chosen or combined through simple software directives, but also be provided with means to adapt to the environment or communicate with other metamaterials, thereby enabling a myriad of applications in sensing, imaging, or communications. So what we're trying to show you here is that we have become saturated in all of these things, metamaterials, the biosensors. They have saturated our environments with all of these different nanotechnologies since the upgrade that started in 2007, which is what they're calling the fourth industrial revolution or the cyber physical backbone.
2017.
So let's talk about wireless drugging. Again, all this information, we're reading you directly from the papers.
Okay, so we have digital drug delivery using AI decision making. The digital nervous system, what this is called DNS, not to be confused with another networking term that also uses the word DNS, A smart healthcare body area network, BAN, separate nodes on the human body work in unison to sense and communicate health parameters and to actuate medical treatments. So sensor nodes like that detect things like breathing, sweat, pulse, and motion, convert the physiological information into digital signals, which are wirelessly relayed to a central decision-making base unit. And actuator nodes, exemplified by an implantable drug delivery device, convert digital signals into biochemical fluxes. Right. So data transferred from the BAN to cloud data handling services can be utilized for direct contact with care providers or emergency services, as well as decision-making analysis and improved treatment schemes, which can be relayed back to the body area network. Now, see, the thing is that when you're reading this, Sean, it's basically talking about information being transmitted from the inside your body out to a remote location for all these different things. But I doubt that the patient or the person that has the technology in them knows that, you know.
And there's also, there's many more papers that we didn't have room for here that basically discuss how there's particles or something inside of you, and then you can take, using AI decision-making processes, you can beam into a person's body and you can release the payload of whatever that is. And that is what your digital drugging is, your wireless drugging. So you literally can have something in you, and then somebody can have an application on a phone, hit a few buttons and drug you. So this is what we're showing you here. This technology is possible. And we just want people to be aware that they've developed this and it's being deployed right now.
Let me ask you guys something. Where do you come down on the idea that we've all been transfected, even those who didn't take the bioweapon? Do you think this is truly in all of us? And, you know, there's that angle, that masterpiece, that product that Robert Young swears by. He did the blood microscopy. It says it's getting the majority of the nanotech and the graphene out of people's bodies, both the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. He talks about transfection quite a bit. Transfection by way of other people who are vaccinated, shedding, perhaps. Transfection by chemtrails, spraying of the skies. They're putting the stuff in the air, the water, the food. Where do you guys come down on that?
I have a couple of points to make on that. So first of all, I firmly believe in that God gave us free will, and that plays a huge role in this. So if, yes, we are polluted. If you're held down and injected with something that kills you, that's called murder, right? So being taking it into you and not or having it done to you are two different things, right? So it's not the same as taking the shot willingly. There are a lot of contaminants in the environment. We all have biosensors, we all have graphene in us and all these other things, nanotechnologies. A lot of us got vaccines when we were babies because we didn't know any better, right? So yes, there's all kinds of stuff in us. However, the body that God gave us has these systems that can actually detox a lot of that stuff out. I've been looking into this as well. We'll be doing some future videos with my mother talking about how the body does naturally detox graphene out of the body within a certain period of time, right? So that's how God made our bodies. So yes, we have it in us, but it can get detoxed out. However, where we stand on the concept of nano delivery is that when you're doing nano delivery, that is something that the cell can't recognize. So the cell doesn't have any defenses. So you're basically bypassing God's natural systems, and the cell doesn't know what to do with that. So that's why we want to work with our natural immune systems that God gave us, in order to help the body heal itself and detox out. I hope that we want to add anything to that.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's okay. Where we stand.
Okay, that's helpful.
So from these papers here with wireless drugging, they say that they want to wirelessly log into your body and actuate a medical treatment using AI decision-making processes. And so that really freaks me out when I think about the concept of, it's not even a human being deciding what to drug you with. It's a computer making the decision of what to do.
The entire infrastructure is weighted on you believing what you're reading as far as the why they would have to send signals to your body. Right. All of this is done invisibly. You just got to trust what the white paper says about why they would want to do this.
So here's a graph from this one paper called A Digital Nervous System Aiming Towards Personalized Internet of Things Healthcare. So we take a look at what's going on in this picture. Here we see the actuator in the brain for the bioelectric drug delivery. The body area network base unit, right, over here, probably a wearable that can be activated. And then your breathing and sweat sensor over here to watch your interstitial fluids with a pulse sensor, which will be on the inside of your body to verify the drug delivery. On the right is a database for decision-making over here, with an artificial intelligence making the decision on when to drug you, all connected to your medical industrial complex, your emergency services personnel. And when you look at these charts in all these papers that are discussing the medical body area network, they all have this same thing in common, where it's like they pull the data out of your body, and then they go through an AI decision-making process up in the cloud, and all of that data is communicated to your hospital, to your doctor, to your nurse. Those are the end users. And the thing that really frustrates me or upsets me the most is that you do not have access to this network. You can't log in to the medical body area network and see what your body data is. Only these people can, right?
When you assume it's just emergency services.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the FBI for all you know.
Exactly. So let's talk about telehealth technology and remote health monitoring.
Okay, so telehealth is the use of digital information and communication technologies to access healthcare services remotely and manage your healthcare. Technologies can include computers, mobile devices, such as tablets and smartphones. This may be technology used from home. Or a nurse or other healthcare professional may provide telehealth from a medical office or mobile van, such as in rural areas. Telehealth can also be technology that your healthcare provider uses to improve or support healthcare services. Now, the technology, the issue with telehealth is the remote monitoring.
Yeah, it's not the Zoom calls to your doctor. That's not the problem with telehealth. It's the remote monitoring.
And as I go through this paragraph, just look at the diagram off to the right that pretty much sums up what's happening there in your home. Technology that allows your provider or healthcare team to check your health remotely. Web-based or mobile apps for uploading data to your provider or healthcare team. Devices that measure and wirelessly send data such as blood pressure, blood sugar, and oxygen levels. Wearable devices that automatically record and send data. Your heart rate, blood sugar, how you walk, your posture, tremors, physical activity, or your sleep. Home monitoring devices for older people or people with dementia that can find changes in daily activities such as falls, devices that send notifications to remind you to do exercises or to take drugs. So, you know, it can just go on from there.
And, you know, I've seen this too. I was playing like a game on my cell phone, like one of those like Tetris type games. And, you know, they have all those ads that you have to watch. Well, one of the ads was for an app on your phone that would allow your phone to take your blood pressure, to take your glucose. And I was like, okay, so how is that happening, right?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead with that story. Yeah. But this is all part of that social media scoring that they want to roll out, to the degree that if you're getting messages on your phone about, oh, a reminder to take your pill or a reminder to exercise more, do you think you're not going to get those reminders that, oh, you've been on Truth Social a little too much today, we've noticed. You've been on X a little too much. You just lost some points. So just, you better rein in your political speech a little bit this week because you've been a little too truthy. And if you want your CBDCs not to expire, you better back off the truthiness. Otherwise, we're going to start debiting from your account. This is what the World Economic Forum, guys, this is exactly what Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the Rothschilds and yes, the Federal Reserve of this stinking country. It's exactly what they want.
Absolutely. You know, and it's why even if you don't do hospitals and medical care, everybody's affected by this. Everybody I know knows somebody that uses this medical system still. You know, our relatives, people use this medical system. So I just want to make sure that people are aware that the technology has got a real hold on this medical system, and they bring it into people's homes to do this remote care. Also, there's a picture here of a drone with a first aid kit on it. There's this whole other section because this entire network is actually connected to an autonomous weapons system. So that's more information for another presentation. But, you know, they during COVID, they had to fly drones over people's houses in Malaysia to take their body temperature. Look that up. There's an article for that, right? So it's like they can administer things from drones flying over your houses. So just keep that in mind. It's all part of the same network. And so let's talk about how they use biosensor networks to track your every move in your house.
Okay, so what we have here is human activity recognition systems. How they track your every move while in your home, markers, surveillance, and radio frequency signal processing. And what I'm about to read here is the abstract. And it's the abstract, I believe, is referring to figure one. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So
it's from this paper, non-stationary relay 3D MIMO channel.
Right. So it's an extensive research showed that the physiological responses of the human tissue to exposure to low frequency electromagnetic fields is the induction of electric current in the body segments. I'm just going to summarize. Basically, they found that there are mathematical techniques through Doppler to send fields into a room, and they can use that to determine what someone is doing in the room.
That's what you're seeing here.
So you have this person that's walking around, and there's certain nodal points that can be tracked, and all this is done with radio frequencies.
Yep. And all your metamaterials and all your biosensors, saturating your environment, so they can definitely see everything that you're doing.
Let me ask you something, Tavon. I wrote it down. I was going to ask you at the end of the interview, but this is the perfect time. They are bathing us, as we said at the beginning of the interview, in EMF, and they're radiating the hell out of everybody. What tri-field meter do you use, or what is an affordable tri-field meter you might recommend that people get so that they can measure the radiation they're being exposed to every day?
Right. There's two. The one I recommend people because of its specs is the TF2. I don't have access to that one here. The one I got was right before importing stuff became a problem, more of a problem.
You have a problem with it here.
I have the GQ90. I think it's still GQ90. It's a smaller one, but it's pretty handy. It allows you to even pick up. So that's the other one. It allows you to pick up like even data bits.
Okay. So is there a name brand for that?
I'm sorry. Say again.
Is there a name brand for that?
I have to look
that's
it
okay.
up.
But that's all right.
The TF2 is called TF2 tri-field meter, and I think you can get it on Amazon.
That, do you remember how much it was, the price range?
You look at spinning up words around $300 range or a little below that. I think you can get one for $200 now, but you're in that range for the TF2.
Okay, so if you, like we in this area, in the state, the blue criminal state in which I live, if we've got these big, giant cell towers located literally in the parking lots or next to the school fields, the play fields at schools, if you had one of these tri-field meters, you could go and measure the amount of EMF, right?
Come
up of those towers and then go present that evidence at your city council meeting, right?
Yes, exactly, Sean. So as massive as this whole thing is, we believe in the word. And in the end, and especially in the end days, it's by the power of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb that the enemy is defeated. So we all have to almost be our own collect our own data. If you got security cameras for your home, get your own record, have it on video, have it on audio, have pictures of, get the data for you and as you're in your neighborhood, you know, because again, with as bad as things are, community by community, people who are aware are able to, through lawfare and just by sheer numbers with the orgy of evidence, take it to the city council or take it into a situation that would be a legal court locally and get this stuff taken care of, especially when it comes to cell towers over like nurseries or schools in their kit. And I'm sorry to have to say this, but it seems to take a couple of casualties from this stuff to get those towers to be turned off or to get it taken down. So you have the the legal route, and then you have the other route that people decide to do proactively because they realize just how dangerous it is. But yeah, having that evidence though, and regardless of what actions people decide to take, is there, it's set in stone. And wherever people decide to do with that evidence that they collect over time, it's indefensible. You can't possibly fight that. You can't fight the truth. You can't fight the truth.
So moving from there, we just want to remind everybody, in case you don't know, about the kill box. So a kill box is a military strategy or procedure used in warfare where a three-dimensional area is set up to enable timely coordination, control, and facilitate rapid attacks. So, Vaughn, why don't you take over this one since you've got the military background?
Okay, so you pretty much described it, but we're basically looking at a strategy that's used in a battle zone environment and seeing it being applied to the infrastructure we've been talking about. So effectively, what's being used is through the M-band and W-band is to potentially turn your home into a kill box. This network is connected to an autonomous weapon system or an AI where electronic warfare of various kinds can be carried out on civilians. So for the ultimate control and the extinction of the population, because we know about the population control agenda, but let's define what a kill box is on the battle zone. You have an area geographically on the map that's mapped out by an attacking group. An operator is designating that area, that this area is gonna be attacked. It's given grids, it's designated as far as grids. And then in that grid, a zone is set up. And that zone is where all these assets are going to be deployed to do the work of destroying and decimating and taking care of business and completing the mission. And then after that's done, then that box, that region is taken apart and removed. So that is virtually what a kill box is. And with this technology, with the amount of data points and the ability to map an entire environment, it's not just going into war with another country or competing faction or against armies that sets up kill boxes anymore. Mm-hmm. With a world with neural networks and cloud data points, everything becomes a battle map. Everything's a battle map, including the general population. So that's why we're bringing this to everyone's attention, that this is how you can set up a 15-minute city where everything is mapped, everything is on a grid, and with total information, you can at real time create those kind of scenarios.
I think this is their master plan. This is where everything is headed towards when you see C40 cities, 15-minute cities, trying to move everybody into these cities for the ultimate control to create a structure like this. So using the Internet of Things to monitor you after COVID, in our last presentation, we told you guys about the COVID body area network. So they basically created a database of people's bodies using the wireless body area network, and they named it the COVID band, right? So this is coming from a paper, an intelligent and energy efficient wireless body area network to control coronavirus outbreak. And I'll read some of the excerpt here. To prevent coronavirus disease 2019 from spreading, the regular identification and monitoring of infected patients are needed. In this regard, wireless body area networks can be used in conjunction with machine learning and the Internet of Things to identify and monitor the human body for health-related information, which in turn can aid in early diagnosis of disease. This paper proposes novel coronavirus body area networks or COVBAN models based on Internet of Things technology as a real-time health monitoring system. And they're using LoRa technology as a relay node. So just look at what's going on in this diagram here. You see like identifying COVID patients, the masks, the sensors. I see some Arduinos in here connecting to the internet, reporting to the hospital's medical servers. LoRa is low power networking protocols designed to wireless connect your body to the internet.
Well, I want to add to this is when you see this data model, Sean, what's important to understand is that these architectures are meant to be very cheap, low efficient, open source hardware that's being used. Like for example, the Arduino, I mean, you can use that for anything. In fact, I use it for some of my projects. So it's like the circuit itself, there's nothing nefarious about it, but it's the way it's being used. And as a society, we are getting to the point to where the technology that's out there, the infrastructure, is so advanced that basically all of these things that are on the surface, they're mundane, is just in the hands of someone that's abusive, can wreak a lot of destruction. So, but we wanted to show everyone that this is the reason why this is so successful, at least as far as concept, is because it is using an open source technology based platform, where things that are pretty much are taught to even, you know, high school students or middle school students. You know, if you know how to do Python, if you're good at creating Arduino circuits, you can abuse that to create something that can read data off a biosensor that someone is walking by, you know.
So this is a college textbook called Human Interaction, Emerging Technologies and Future Systems. This was published in 2021, I believe. So there's a ton of information in this this textbook about this industry, about emerging technologies. But just for this presentation, we're going to just read to you a few of the excerpts talking about AI precision healthcare. So the healthcare system sustainability by application of advanced technologies in telemedicine and e-health. This is what all you college kids are learning right now in school, okay? Medical data collection processing architecture to assist in the collection of data belonging to patients and will be stored and processed by machine learning algorithms. It has five layers, and we will explain them below. Device layer, patient layer is collected, and medical devices that can be found in a hospital capture that data. These devices have an interface for data capture and must have another interface to send data over the network. Doctors or health professionals use the devices to capture the data. So modern health is unthinkable without the use of advanced technical means. These include communication technologies, specialized computer systems, artificial intelligence, and others. Whatever happened to the days where you'd go to the doctor and he'd say, stick out your tongue, he'd look inside your ears, he'd listen to your heartbeat with a stethoscope? It's like they're just reading your data now from an AI machine.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've turned the words upside down too, right? So I think one of the cautions that we've all come to learn to be true is that basically if you do everything opposite of what the government says, you're probably more on the right track. And to me, when they say modern health, if this is modern health, then this is Luciferian health, right? It's not modern health. It's health isn't even the right word, right? They've hijacked the word, like Patriot Act. It's anything but an act for patriots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That it's the double speak. It's the twisting of the words. So this is how is AI used in precision medicine? If you hear that term precision medicine, this is what it is. It identifies the methods of it identifies phenotypes of patients with less common responses to treatment or unique healthcare needs. AI leverages sophisticated computation and inference to generate insights, enables the system to reason and learn, and empowers clinician decision-making through augmented intelligence. So AI is diagnosing you and is figuring out what to drug you with. This is the world that we're entering into right now.
It has such a perfect record, right?
Okay, now we're going to talk about digital twins in healthcare.
Okay, so a digital twin is a virtual model of a physical entity with dynamic bi-directional links between a physical entity and its corresponding twin in a digital domain. Basically, it's a replication of what's in the real world. Okay, so digital twins are increasingly used today in different industry sectors. Applied to medicine and public health, digital twin technology can drive a much needed radical transformation of traditional electronic health medical records, focusing on individuals and their aggregates, and covering populations and making them ready for a new era of precision medicine and public health. Okay, so digital twins enable learning and discovering new knowledge, new hypotheses. So all of these things are promised by having a paradigm that requires digital twins. When you look through these diagrams, you see how they try to do a virtual simulation or something in the analog to what's going on in the real world, like neurons. You see
biological neurons
to search artificial neurons. They have examples of this, you know, these drawings and these diagrams. But what we always find is that there's always these symbols that are hidden within these diagrams.
Yeah. For this one, take a look at the top of the robot's head, and you see this symbol here, which is actually an Aleister Crowley hexagram, which is a symbol equivalent to the pentagram or pentacle. The two symbols together represent the interweaving of planetary and elemental forces. So this is their symbology for merging man and machine or transhumanism. Basically, I've been thinking about digital twins, and I'm like, so how does this work? So I'm assuming, based on all these papers, right, they've created a digital twin of you with all of your data in it, and they can treat that digital twin. They can do simulations, and they treat that digital twin. They do stuff to the twin to see how you would probably react. Where is that digital twin stored? On the network, which is decentralized, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there are servers somewhere buried somewhere that right. is processing that information.
So you don't have access to your digital twin. You don't know about your digital twin, but they've created digital twins for a lot of people. So, you know, I don't know exactly any more about that as far as like where my digital twin would be, but they're basically, there's a cyber physical interface where they're actually merging the digital twin from the digital world into the physical world. And so we're trying to show you the technology that has the ability to do that. So you, it would lead you to believe what they're doing to your digital twin will be done to you physically. They have digital twins of cities and buildings and businesses. There was a big conference just like last week or 2 weeks ago where NVIDIA came out showing all of their artificial intelligence technology, and they included the updates on digital twins and businesses. So you can look into that also and see, like, this is very real. This is here now.
We're about to talk more about that now.
Yeah, we'll get into NVIDIA in just a second. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew about this in case you didn't. So the Congress, they passed in 2022 the Modernization Act. And the wording in the Modernization Act, so the FDA has already changed over the system. I call this, you are now the guinea pig Modernization Act. There's no more animal testing. There's no more testing before they deploy drugs and whatever else on people. So there's no more testing of any kind that's required to be done before they deploy the commercial availability of any drug. The congressional bill has language in it that also allows for, quote, cell-based array and computer models. Cell-based assays and computer models to be used as testing instead of animal testing of new drugs. That is your digital twin right there. The cell-based assays and computer models, amongst other things, right? That's that digital world we've been talking about. So this is speaking about using your DigiTwin to test new drugs, and understanding of this and what's happened here can lead one to conclude that they release a new product out into the market. They get a whole bunch of people to take it, not knowing that it hasn't been tested. The people themselves are the test. And then they use the wireless body area network to pull data from people's biosensors to see what kind of results they're getting with people. So this is the conclusion we came to over coffee one morning, that this is what's going on here, because there is no more testing and nobody really knows that.
Also, the implications are pharma companies used to have to pay for testing.
Yeah, there's that.
And now a product can be released and the customer pays, or the people, the people who get it, or the government pays. Someone else pays, not the company, not the pharmaceutical company. They're not put at a risk now. So in a way, you have a situation where the person that's being under test is the one that's paying for the test.
So just be careful about, you know, like, make sure that you do your research on any kind of new thing that you might want to take, because there's no more regulatory agencies making sure that it's not bad for you, right?
Well, in vivo testing is not required here.
Yeah. So now, a few weeks back, we had some videos going around talking about bioluminescence and why people's faces are glowing. So I'll let Tavon take it away, because he's done some research on this to help add some more perspective to the situation.
Okay, so we have the bioluminescence reaction, which is, in general, a chemical reaction that produces an electronically excited substance that emits light. So when you see these fluorescent dots coming off of animals or off of faces, especially those who have taken the injection, unfortunately, what you're looking at is a chemical response that is happening under the skin. Okay, so as a technology, when we're talking about the Internet of Things, you have something called the Internet of Bio Nano Things, which was a phrase that was coined by Dr. Achildes. And the paper we're about to go into basically cites him several times. But basically, in this world we're talking about of BioNTech, it's used for tagging, identification of objects, and as biomarkers in living systems. It's also used to monitor the change of metabolic states of living systems under study. And in the Internet of BioThings, which is this would be under, is currently being researched as a method to signal the presence of a concentration of information molecules in the nano network. So we talked about the nano network earlier, flowing through the bloodstream and being in your circulatory system, in your interstitial fluids. When you see these biomarkers, which is the fluorescing in these different areas of the body, those are areas where information is being relayed within this nano network that we talked about earlier.
And the facial recognition?
Also, this has, when you actually see, like in this case, you visibly see under black light, the fluorescing. This would have an application in facial recognition, advanced facial recognition. So let's say this person's face is glowing orange, and then over a couple of months, the orange patch goes away, and maybe they might have taken another injection or something. You got like green, what have you. So the system that's being put in place would take a physical photo with the current facial recognition cameras that are everywhere, and then compare it to a photo later and try to monitor a change in activity of that face or of that person over that window of time. That's where this technology is leading. We're not really sure how far it is, but when you read these white papers, that's the direction you would have with something like this. I'm sorry, go back. I'll only cover it briefly. You have two diagrams underneath, basically talking about the kind of tech. These are block diagrams of a technology that would interface with these things in your blood vessels. So you have this, you have the blood vessels there on the left, and you have a way of the signal triggering a small unit that would administer drugs directly into the blood vessel and vice versa. You can have a biosensor that would take a sample from the biochemical reaction and turn it into a signal back the other way. So that's what you're looking at with these two diagrams here. And this is a zoom up of the latter, where this is a small, it's called a bioreporter, which is basically a single-celled organism that's been designed to have biosensors in it, including luciferin and luciferase. Okay, this is out of the paper, and it is able to take an analyte, something that's within the bloodstream, a component that is looking for, and it detects it, and it takes that sample and it converts it into a signal, in this case, light. So bioreporters, that's what this is, uses bioluminescence as a signal. Alternatively, it doesn't have to be light. It can be a heat signature instead. It can emit a certain frequency of heat. Novel AI algorithm models with the ability to process massive data sets are needed for 24/7 real-time monitoring and simulations. And what you see on the right is what we had in our book in 2017, where we saw a university that was, testing this type of technology, but they were using gold nanoparticles for the test, and they found migrations of those particles inside these mice. Okay, so now we're talking about what kind of computing systems and power would be needed to process all of this data with all these people within the city or within an area. Okay, so you have the NVIDIA and AMD, they run this kind of technology. A graphics processing unit, or GPU, if you're a gamer, you're very familiar with this, is a specialized circuit used to accelerate the computer graphics power on personal computers, mobile phones, gaming consoles, and industrial server farms. Within the last few years, these GPUs are found to be useful for non-graphic calculations, due to their ability to work in a parallel fashion. They're able to do multiple tasks at the same time. This inherent property lends to the hardware to include training of neural networks and cryptocurrency mining. The GPU market is a multi-trillion dollar industry due to the promise of greatly accelerating innovation using accelerated AI, neural-driven hardware, and is presently dominated by NVIDIA and AMD. Now, like Hope said, at the end, we have citations for all of these. There's these two particular videos talking about the trends in this field, and it's changing constantly. There's new companies coming with new architectures. So this space is changing quickly, and there's a lot of money on the line for this. New companies are forming to challenge the current GPU paradigm with new costs and energy-efficient chipsets that are set to disrupt the industry in the coming years. The battles for new kinds of memory and processor designs and more of it in the small energy-efficient packages. The main industry direction is real-world simulation of processes used by industry, bio-intech, and governments that can afford the server data centers necessary to process real-world matrix-based data sets. What you see here is something called Neural Angelo. This was a framework or project for high fidelity reconstruction from 2D images, Sean, using neural volume rendering. This is basically a rendering method that uses neural deep learning and neural algorithms from computers to take a 2D picture and turn it into a 3D representation, in this case of a Johns Hopkins University. On the image, you see input is like an input video, and it took the series of the 2D images, which is the video, and turned it into a very clean 3D mesh model of Johns Hopkins University with very high definition. So this technology is absolutely revolutionary. You know, just from taking 2D images, it will have a 3D rotation, high definition from its algorithm, and they have a development NVIDIA page where they go more into that. And on that page, the title is Recreate High Fidelity Digital Twins with Neural Kernel Surface Reconstruction. And the goal is to be able to take something like a tablet or your mobile phone with an app on, and just by taking a couple of photos in an area that you're in, you can create a 3D environment. And I mean, and so, yeah, doubles as having a killer 3D video game. But as you can see, this is not meant for that. This is meant for real-world applications that are in industry and government.
Boy, you know, I got to just say, this all reminds me of Catherine Austin Fitz and the Big Red Button, right? And I don't know if you guys own NVIDIA stock. I don't. My brother does. And for those who own NVIDIA stock, it's been the best performing stock probably of the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years or more. It went from 100 to 1,000 or something over the last year or so. And this is how you get people to cheer for their enslavement. Get them to participate in their enslavement. Because if you are high on NVIDIA stock and you're getting rich, you're very excited to look at your portfolio every day, you probably are going to turn a blind eye to this.
Yes.
Exactly what Catherine Austin Fitz said people would do. They wouldn't hit the big red button to make all this stop as long as their portfolios continue to go skyward. It's really the disgusting part of human nature, isn't it?
It's a seduction, Sean. I mean, I'm a tech head. I don't own any stock. I see what the trends are. I'm blown away by the innovation, but there's no responsibility over it. That's really going to hurt humanity in a big way.
You said earlier, all you see is more pain, right?
It's just more pain behind it because you see where this is going. It's not for the gaming. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the reason why it's trillions of dollars. It's for those industries that really do. They still are able to create things. But unfortunately they're creating it for things that require that end up in controlling people who don't see it coming.
And something else too, that people say, oh, all this emerging technology, we need to stop it. We need to hit that button. Like, you know, the people that are responsible, they need to be held accountable. But the people that are working in this industry right now are your children. They're your college kids. You know, it's so much, they've got our own kids going to school to learn about this technology, to implement it. So it's, How are you going to stop that, right?
Well, also, we're at the point now where, you know, server data centers already have this technology being installed in it. Each one of these companies, like NVIDIA, have armies of software developers, armies of mathematicians making the next innovation in the software, the next set of chipsets. Is my problem with the chipsets? No, my problem is the abuse of power from people that are pedophiles. I have a problem with that, you know?
And let's not forget, nobody voted for this technology to be installed like this. Nobody said, oh yeah, I want that. It just foisted it on us. And so we'll round this out. We've got a couple of slides here. This is migrants from emerging tech industry coming to an American city near you. So this is something came up. So for Tavon and I, in our circles of people that we know and events that we go to, we meet all kinds of people internationally. And they're people that are trained in these different fields. And what we've noticed is that a lot of them are going to school, or they're going to America to get jobs in America.
Or Europe.
Working on this kind of technology. So,
okay. So this is just a food for thought, Sean, to consider what's happening, okay, globally. So since NAFTA, there's been various agreements between countries in the North American continent to allow for free flow of resources, laborers between each of the countries. And so what we want to put forward here, especially since we've been doing deep dives for the past couple of years, especially on your show, when you look at the papers, you have to look at the names of the people who are on these papers.
Yeah. What countries are they coming from?
All right. And what we're starting to think about here is you have an emergent technology industry with new jobs, with new graduates from abroad. They're not in America. I mean, there are some, but most of them are coming from outside of America, and they're coming to America to implement emerging tech jobs for lower salaries.
So, but for them, it's more money.
It's more than they've ever seen.
Life.
That's right.
So
the thought here is if, I'll give you an example, depending on where you live in the world, especially if you're coming from the Western world, you'll see that the cost of living changes dramatically. It could be from 3-1 to 5-1 in a lot of examples. And the salaries of the people in that other place are much lower compared to what you're used to seeing. So the thing is that we have friends who are coming from countries on this continent, on the African continent, who are doctors, and they're lovely people, right? And some of them aren't, like, for some of them, they're science, they're PhDs, and their science is, like, let's say in agriculture. And it's actually not GMO. It's actually just real science of minerals and stuff. They work in universities in a country in Africa that works in conjunction with MIT, with Ivy League universities. They have these joint programs, and they're given offers to come and live in America. Don't really have a, you know, on his face, have no problem with the people we meet, but we're looking at what's happening here economically, what's going on. And what we're saying is that the globalists, and especially in places like America, see a monetary incentive for doing this. Mm-hmm. They're bringing people from abroad because they know that for 1/3 the cost, or what, you know, for a fraction of the cost, they can have that mind. They can have the academic people there to replace the job of someone who's normally there that would get paid $120,000 a year.
Well, that's right. And they also then have a willing population to do the bidding of their masters, which are the globalists who want to enslave us. So I want to be really clear about that, because we can see in the blue states and the blue cities, they're actually moving to try to allow these people to become police officers carrying guns. Yes. And they're illegals. They're not even citizens of this country. So, you know, we can talk about UN troops coming in. Guess what? They bypassed that. Or maybe these guys are UN troops, right? Just masquerading as illegal immigrants, that when the UN does want to come in, these guys will play ball. But regardless, they're trying to deputize these people, essentially, to make them police officers, to police we the people.
Yeah. And like what we want to just highlight here is that, because people think about the migrants coming in and they're all military age and But it's more than that. It's skilled professionals.
I want to say the brain trust. I want to say the brain trust.
Coming from countries that have been studying this, that are willing to do these jobs and implement this technology on your society for a fraction of the price that you would have to pay an American to do this kind of job. So it's not just the military age men and fighters. It's more. It is the brain trust. So just to be on the lookout for that, because that's what we're seeing in our personal circles of people that we talk to. So before we get to our last slide, I just want to get spiritual for a second here, because I asked God to show me in the Bible a scripture that would spiritually symbolize what the wireless body network is. And God showed me the webs in the book of Job. And so they have saturated everything with their web of evil technology. So in the book of Job, Bildad describes the dangerous path of the wicked. His vigorous stride is shortened, and his own scheme brings him down, for he is thrown into the net by his own feet, and he steps on the webbing. A snare seizes him by the heel, and a trap shuts on him. A noose for him is hidden in the ground, and a trap for him on the path. All around, terrors frighten him and harry him at every step. His strength is famished, and calamity is ready at his side. And also it says in Job 8:14, such is the destiny of all who forget God. So the hope of the godless will perish. His confidence is fragile. His security is in a spider's web. He leans on his web, but it gives way. He holds fast, but it does not endure.
Amen.
You know what's so interesting, you guys? We hadn't talked about this presentation prior to this, have we? Not even a word. I didn't even know where we were going today. Okay. I have been saying at least twice, if not three or four times in recent interviews, and I believe it's God speaking through me, that I believe these people will be trapped in their own snares. I've been using that language specifically because I feel it in my bones. This great awakening is real and God will not be mocked. And these people fear the great awakening because light cleanses the dark, and they rely on hiding in the dark and doing their evil machinations in the dark. So we stand a real chance here because the great awakening is real and God is on our side. I firmly believe it. I believe these people will be entrapped by their own snares.
Yes.
Well, amen to that. And that's that Holy Spirit, because, you know, we're fighting on the same side.
That's right.
On the side of good and on the side of God. So
and let that be an encouragement, these passages here.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and also the web isn't that strong. It says that you lean; they're leaning. The confidence is on this network that they've built, but the network isn't going to work as well as they think it's going to.
I believe so.
It's going to fall apart because God wins in the end, right?
Yep. And they require our compliance, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. I'll tell you what. We ran into somebody last night. My wife and I went out, had a little dinner. And we were talking to a guy sitting next to us at this bar. We like to go to bar restaurants. And if we can sit at the bar, sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. This guy was sitting right next to us. We struck up a conversation. He is a big Alex Jones fan. He's a big X-22 fan. It turns out he heard of SGT Report. He's a listener occasionally. And he was an inspiration to me. I invited him on the show, in fact. So, Matt, if you're listening, return my email. I'd love to have you on. And it's just inspirational because a person like him woke up long before COVID, but he told his wife about the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. He wouldn't allow his kids to get the shot. He tried to warn his wife. She went along, but she thought he was crazy. Then the lockdowns happened. Then the restaurants got shut down. Then the economy got shut down. Then she woke up and she said, this husband that I married and I love, he's not so crazy after all. And guess what? That man and his wife and many of their friends will never repeat the mistakes they made during the COVID lockdowns and the bioweapon rollout. They won't do it.
Excellent.
That's the great awakening. That's what I'm talking about. There is a certain percentage of this population that will refuse to comply with these evil machinations.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're actually the World Economic Forum a couple of months ago, their theme was regaining trust or something like that. Trying to reestablish trust because they know that nobody believes them anymore. So, you know, obviously we are winning when it comes to that.
Yep. Damn straight. We are winning, guys. Don't ever forget that. I know the news is bad. Just turn it off. Unless you want to be amused, then you can turn on the NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt and laugh at the CIA
comedy release.
Because that's all they are. Lester Holt will give you the CIA talking points. So you can watch it for entertainment value, but don't watch it to get bummed out, because those are just the talking points from the losing team.
Remember, it was God that said, I will laugh at their calamities.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. God will not be mocked. And I don't think he's amused by any of it.
Yeah. So just our last slide, like we always say, just to tell you a little bit about our products. We have our sleeping pods for a good night's sleep, our charge plates we use around the home, some phone shields, some pendants. We've got our pyramid sets that people like to use, especially it's spring now. So for gardening, we have all of our beds planted here, getting ready for the next crop. And we use Organite and all of our food growing around here. And also our tiles for incorporating EMF protection into construction projects. As always, there's all kinds of science and documentation all over our website. There's like 7 years worth of videos, and we've answered every question possible. So please check out our FAQs. Please check out our videos so that you can understand about these products and how they can work. And if you if they're a little too pricey for you, we even have a scratch and dent sale that you can check out on the front page of our website. And also, if you want to make this stuff yourself, we encourage people to make their own Orgone products for EMF protection. We have a video on our site you can search on how we make ours so that you can go ahead and make it yourself. So we want to say thank you so much, Sean, to you for helping us to spread the word about our business here. We make everything by hand, as you know. We have our factory here and our community of people that depend on the work, and we just love what we do. And we want to say thank you so much for allowing us to come on your show.
Thank you very much.
Talk about our business so that we can also help support you so that you can keep putting out great shows and getting the truth out there. Because if it wasn't for shows like yours, I don't know where we would be as far as having the right information.
Well, God bless you guys so much. We really appreciate you. I love you guys personally. I consider you really close friends. And truth be known, guys, it's a real small circle of us that are really beginning to know each other. Like, for instance, I was introduced to Mark Atwood by Hope and Tavon. Our mutual friend, Diane Kayser, actually went to Morocco and stayed with Hope and Tavon for some period of time very recently. And I just met up with my wife and I just met up with Diane Kayser and another friend in Mexico. So it's a small world, and we need to stick together, friends, because truth rises to the top. And before I let you guys go, I wanted to show you one last thing. Tavon, is this what you were talking about? You mentioned TF2 tri-field meter. There's several. What do you make?
That's the one.
Yep, that's the one, $186 bucks. That's not bad.
Yeah, great.
All right.
Yeah, they used to be a lot more expensive a few years ago.
All right. Well, very good. I'm sure demand has gone up, so they're making more, causing the price to go down because people are waking
take up. Readings. Take readings in your home, around your neighborhood, and have it on video and share with as many people as you can, with your family, with neighbors. Just get those data, get that data, and shove in the PTA space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The PTA and the city council. Okay, one last screen share, guys, and then we'll let Hope and Tavon go. You know, I flashed this during the interview when I was talking about the fall of the hospitals and the failed experiment, or the experiment actually that was successful and vetted out the people willing to go along with the Killing Field protocols. It reminds me of the Milgram experiment. Okay, the experiment found unexpectedly, well, now it's expected, that a very high proportion of subjects would fully obey the instructions, with every participant going up to 300 volts of electricity and 65% going up to 450 volts. This is exactly what happened in the hospitals. The protocols were killing people. Precious few nurses and doctors chose not to go along. Most did. And kind of it's a peer pressure thing. It's a little bit of a stick with the group for safety type of thinking. And it's completely sick. And if you're a doctor or a nurse who happens to be listening to this, you better damn well wake up and get on the right side of history and stand with we the people, because your agendas in these hospitals right now in Western medicine are completely 100% anti-human. And that's all I'll say about that. Our guests have been Hope and Tavon, my good friends from Morocco. The website, well, I'll leave it below, guys, and you can check out those fantastic products that will help abate the EMF in the invisible spectrum. You can't see it, can you? Well, you can't see what Orgone can do to abate those effects either. But the science is clear. You can learn more about that. Their website, I'll leave it below, guys, ftwproject.com. Our guests have been the one, the only, Hope and Tavon. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. All right, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. As always, check us out for real news every single day for free at sgtreport.com, guys. That is the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of the lies you're told every single day by the Mockingbird mainstream media. May God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
Hi, Dr. Shiva. Do you support Israel's right to exist?
What does this have to do with what we're talking about? I've seen you put tweets out there. And if you want to have a talk about Zionism, that's what we should talk about. But you don't want to have that discussion. You're asking the same old biased Zionist question. That question doesn't mean anything. Even the ICG just said Israel is a colonizer of these people. But the bottom line is you cannot conflate Judaism with Zionism. Okay? And that's what you're doing.